As they are making their way to church, I would like us to open our Bibles, please, to the book of John, Gospel according to John, chapter number 10. We have been looking at this passage for the past couple of weeks, and then we had something else to deal with last Sunday, and we're going back to that now. We're continuing with our series that we started a couple of weeks ago, which was, which is loud and clear. Loud and clear. Hearing God and hearing God clearly. So, thank God for last weekend, and it was really good. I've been hearing so much good report about last weekend. So, we're going to take the third installment of the message, loud and clear. And I'll read the passage, John chapter number 10. I'll read from verse 1. John chapter number 10, verse 1. Holy Spirit divine, you help us this morning. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. I will jump to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hebrews chapter number 5. The book of Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament, and you find it just after the book of Philemon. Hebrews chapter number 5. I'll read from just two verses. Verse 13 and 14. For everyone, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, you may underline that in your Bible, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Technical team, I'm having some other people talking here apart from me. Let us pray. Father, thank you for a day like this in your presence. As we gather around your word this morning, let light shine from heaven. Lord, illuminate our hearts by the reason of your word. Spirit of the living God, take that which belongs to the Father and reveal them to us. Lord, I pray that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people to receive the engrafted word this morning. I ask that you anoint me afresh and cause your word to flow out of me like streams of living water. Lord, let this word build us up together so that at the end of the service, all of us will have been transformed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, Learning to Hear His Voice, the Training and the Instruments. Learning to Hear His Voice, colon, if you're writing down, the training and the instrument. So the short version of it is the training and the instrument, the training and the instrument. And I would like you to pay careful attention to what we're going to be sharing this morning because it's so key. It's so key to what we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. You know, September 11, 2001, something happened that changed the entire world. I believe that if I asked you this morning, you will probably know exactly what you were doing at that point in time. I know exactly where I was when this major disaster happened in the U.S. 19, people, terrorists, had taken over 4 different planes going into the U.S., and they had attacked the Twin Tower, and they had also attacked Pentagon, and the 4th one actually crash-landed in Pennsylvania. You know, it was something that was major. And following that particular event, many things have actually changed around the world, especially when it comes to what you can take into the plane, how the cockpit is operated and stuff like that. Prior to that time, people have easy access to the cockpit, you know, but right now there is no way you can go in there. And that was as a result of what happened September 11, 2001. Now, after the event, after that devastation happened, the police in the U.S. and forensic experts, they were able to get recordings of the people and some of the exchange and the communication that took place prior to actually having the attack. But they had a trouble, and the trouble was that they were not able to use those recordings, as sensitive as they were not able to use and gather much information from the recordings. One of the things that they actually failed to be able to identify to do was that they were not able to identify the people that actually carried out the attack early enough from just the recording, and that was very puzzling to them. They felt with the advances in the world, people should be able to have some identification. They should be able to identify people by their voices alone. And so that started the race of what I refer to today as voice identification. Scientists started to work. You know, everybody went into the work mode and started finding out how can we, just by the mere hearing of voices of people, be able to synthesize information that will be able to make us to locate those people. And they started working, you know, all over the Western world. And by 2004, March 11, 2004, there was another major attack that happened. This time it was not in the U.S. This time it was in Madrid, Spain. And there was a train attack. And the guys, following the attack, they took into the YouTube, and of course with their face covered, and they spoke some words and all those things. But right now, things have changed. Things have changed because by that time they had already discovered, or rather, they had already been able to make a system that is able to identify people by their voices. They name it BatVox. BatVox is a forensic automated speaker recognition system that is able to pick your voice, analyze it, and tell the person who you are. And that has been developed over time. Now, prior to that time, speech specialists and dialectologists, people that analyze dialects and stuff like that, were the people that the world relied upon. But by 2004, advances in science had made BatVox to be available such that people can just key in your voice and analyze the voice and be able to locate you in your house while you are having coffee. Okay? Because there is now what we call voice printing. It's just like thumbprinting. Just like you can identify people by their thumbprint, you are now able to identify people by their voices. So be careful how you speak. You know, it's interesting these days when you pick up the voice, they say, this conversation may be recorded for quality and training purposes. They are collecting data, okay? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't speak anymore, but I'm just telling you that you have your voice prints all over the place. And these are the things that they can always refer to and just put it in the system, and it's going to tell them exactly who you are. Perhaps even tell them what you had that morning. I'm just kidding. Okay. Now the advances in technology has come to that stage because scientists have now been able to identify that your voice is unique. Your voice is your own and no other person's. Just like your thumbprint is unique. Just like the people are now talking about the iris identification, so that the iris is a part of the eye, and because of the lining of the iris, they can actually take a photograph of that, analyze it, and tell them the person you are. So right now, people now go into some certain offices, very sophisticated offices, just by just putting their thumbprint. But they've advanced even beyond that. You cannot just put your eye just through a hole, and it will just scan it in seconds, and then the door will open. And the guy next to you will put his eye, put his nose, put his mouth, and nothing will happen. Why? Because he can just identify the iris of that man. Okay, this time it's now coming to a point where people can just get to the door and speak a voice and speak a word and the door will open. And that's not very strange because you have it in your car now. You call it voice recognition, so that when you speak, something happens to the radio. I mean, my kids love that about my car. They say, Dad, they put that in home. And say, go to radio, go to FM station, and they love it. Now, the beauty of that is, although it's able to identify several voices, as long as you are able to condition your voice to sound in certain ways, you know, certain cars that are made maybe in the U.S., they are already programmed so that you speak like an American. If you speak like an Asian, it's not going to respond to you, okay? How many people understand what I'm talking about? Okay, good. So, but it's not so sophisticated that this one is programmed so that it just recognizes your voice and your voice alone, because there is a uniqueness about your voice. Now, you may have two people singing, and they are going to be singing the same note, the same frequency, the same amplitude, but they will still be able to identify who is singing and who is not, or who is making that noise and who is not. Because there are three characteristics that come with voices. Let me just say that very briefly. Now, you have what is referred to as the frequency, or what we call the pitch, the note, basically. And then number two, you have what is referred to as the amplitude. The amplitude is the loudness, or what a layman would call the volume. Okay? And then number three, you have what is referred to as the waveform. That's the waveform. Another word for that is timbre. Timbre is spelled T-I-M-B-R-E, timbre. Timbre is the quality of the sound that comes from your vocal fold. The vocal fold produces that unique quality to your voice. So you may have two ladies singing here, singing the same note. In other words, they are singing the same frequency. They are singing at the same level of loudness. In other words, the amplitude is the same. But then the voices will still be different because the timbre, or what is referred to as the waveform, is different. And that you can do nothing about because it's coming from the movement of the wave of the vocal fold somewhere in there. You don't need to figure it out, but it's somewhere in there. And it's going to produce a specific voice that is just yours and yours alone. It's interesting. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, just picture that you have a voice that is different from the person next to you, and everyone here will have different voices. So the world is in the program of voice printing everyone. Now, that's why it's not so difficult to appreciate how, you know, the end of the age will come when they say there's going to be a single currency and there's going to be 666s and there's going to be this, a single universal government, and that you have to be identified by some means. And people are saying, where is the 666 going to be? Is it going to be on my forehead? Is it going to be on my back? You don't have to, it doesn't have to even be anything visible, because it's just a matter of voice printing you or fingerprinting you or maybe there will be some other printing of some sort for identification purposes. Thank God we're not going to be here, so I will have escaped. I don't know about you, but it's a dangerous time to leave, okay? Now, I went into all that so that you will know that if it's possible for every single individual to have a voice that is unique to him or her, then it shouldn't be anything difficult for us to appreciate that the Holy Spirit has a unique voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit is unique, and it is different from any other kind of voices. Now, the most important thing for a believer is to identify and recognize that voice. Is to be able to recognize and identify the voice, because living a life based on feeling is a low life. You need to live a life that is based on the prompting and the voice of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 27, something happened. A man named Isaac, and he had two boys by the name Jacob and Esau. And he was about to die. At this time, he was blind. Genesis chapter 27. He was blind, and he was about to die. And he called Esau. Esau was supposed to be the first boy. And he said, go and kill a game. Make me some good meal. Bring it to me. I'm going to bless you. And the boy said, yes, sir. I'm on my way. And he left. As soon as he left, Isaac's wife called the younger boy, Jacob, and he said, you know what, Jacob, I have a deal. I want you to be the one to actually receive the blessing of your father. So I'm going to ask you to go and actually prepare the meal and give it to your father instead of Isaac. Now, but Jacob raised a specific legitimate concern, and the concern was, Mom, I'm not as hairy as my brother. So my father will recognize that this is not Esau, and he's going to place a curse on me rather than a blessing. And, you know, the woman said, no, don't worry, I'll figure it out, you know, wives always figure out things, you know. I'll figure it out, don't worry. Just go and do as I've said. And the boy went, prepared the meal, and brought it. Before he went to the father, he came to the mom, and he said, Mom, I'm ready to go into my father. And the mom placed upon him the skin of the sheep that he has just killed, the sheep skin, so that when he went into the father, something happened. The father recognized that this was not Esau's voice. But by the time he felt him, because he felt hairy, the father was confused. And he was confused because there was now a clash between the feeling and the voice. And he made a terrible mistake that many of us are still making today, going by the feeling rather than the voice. He went ahead and he pronounced a blessing on the boy based on feeling, not based on the voice. Now, today, people of God, I want to challenge you to recognize the voice, because people that go by way of feeling always end in disaster. It's as simple as that. And of course, the boy got the blessing and ran away. And of course, we know the rest of the story. So it is incumbent upon us as New Testament 21st century believers to understand and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. There are no two ways about it. You just have to recognize that voice, otherwise you will live a life that is substandard according to God's word. Now, but there is a trouble here. The trouble is, it is not just the voice of the Holy Spirit that comes to you. People have identified that there are four voices that comes to you. The first one is the voice of God. The voice of God. It comes into your spirit, man. The second is the voice of the devil. And then the third is your own voice. How many of you know you have your own voice? I'm not even talking about the voice that I'm talking to you about. I'm talking about your inner voice, your own voice, packaged just for you. But I had a fourth one, and that's the voice of others. There is the voice of significant others in your life, your parents, your bosses, your friends, close associates. They've got their voices. Now, there is only one of these four voices that will take you to stardom, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The other three will lead you into disaster. You don't want to go by the voice of the flesh, because it's not going to get you anywhere. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. The hand is death. You don't want to go by the voice of other people because they don't know as much as you think they do. You know, some people actually will lead you into more disaster than you'll have led yourself if you have voluntarily followed your own voice. And of course, the last thing you want to do is to follow the voice of the devil, because he has no idea as to how to get you to the promised land. Every of his idea is to destroy you. So the only voice that is necessary for you to learn to hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The beauty of it is that we can all hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But somebody will say, so how do I, thank God I'm in church today. How do I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you are here. If you are asking that question, I hope I'm not asking it on your behalf, but if you are asking that question, you are in the right place. How do I know, or how do I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Remember, a few weeks ago when we started, I said three things about hearing God. I said, hearing God is possible. Hearing God is paramount, is important. And hearing God involves a process, a learning process. Now, with all these voices all around me, and the fact that there is just one voice that will get me to the promised land, that will lead me into God's blessing and God's provision and God's safety and God's health, how do I recognize this voice? Beautiful question. The simple answer is this, and it's not so simple. The simple answer is, it comes by training. Recognizing the voice comes by training. I'll refer you back to the passage we have just read in Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 14. It says this, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Full age means who are matured. That is, those who by reason of use. Reason of use. So how do they get matured? The use is by reason of use. They have, the Bible says, they have their senses exercised. They have their senses exercised. Now, every one of us, as we have physical senses of touch, of taste, of smell, of vision, we also have spiritual senses. Now, this spiritual senses was given to us at the point of our birth, or rebirth in this case. When we were born, we had that, those physical, or rather spiritual senses, we were born with it. Just like a child will be born with the physical senses of hearing, of vision, of feeling. Now, but I tell you, I put it to you, that every child needs to develop those senses in order for them to be relevant in this terrestrial platform. If a child was born with the sense of vision and he's got the eyes in the socket, and you, for any reason, put that child in perpetual darkness, of course, scientists will not allow you to do that because it's not ethical. You will be amazed that that child, if you bring the child out in the after 1 year or 2 years, the child will be blind. Why? Because he has not exercised that ability. If you don't put it to use, it becomes useless. If you don't use it, you lose it. And that's why many of us have lost our sense of hearing, because we never use them. We never get trained in disuse. And so if you don't use it, you know, there is something we call disuse atrophy in medicine. Now, if you place your hand somewhere and you don't move it, you just discover that after some time, you lose the ability to use it. You just lose that ability because you have not used it. Now, many of you not consider what I'm doing this morning as walking up and down, pacing here in front of you as exercise. But the truth of the matter is, as I move around, as I'm using this leg, there is some development taking place. Of course, it's not going to be comparable to what will happen if I was in the gym, okay? But there, as I'm moving it around, there is some development taking place. There is an impulse of blood flowing, you know, sensitizing the brain, the nerves, you know, the system, just because I'm using it. Now, the problem with us is we want to get to hear God's voice, but we just don't want to get it, our hearing developed. Don't forget what I'm saying. The Bible says that in Christ is a new creature, is a new species of being. You were born again. The Bible says born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Just picture yourself as you were born. That day you gave your life to Christ. What happened to you? Your spirit man was born. And it was born with the ability to hear. But the ability to hear may never develop if you don't exercise it by reason of use, by reason of training. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. I want to put it across to you that you need to train your ears. There are no two ways to hear God. No two ways. Otherwise, everybody would be singing, I hear God, I hear God, I hear God this morning. But because people don't want to put themselves through the training, then that's why we're having the disaster that we're having now amongst believers, 21st century believers. Nobody wants to go through the training. And until you go through the training, you don't hear nothing. If you hear something, you're hearing yourself, the devil, or the people around you, or your neighbor that normally screams. You're hearing nothing because there has not development of that spiritual hear. That spiritual capacity to hear has not been developed because you have not put it into use. You've not put it into use. Now, the question this morning is, how do I put it into use? Thank you for asking that. I've been waiting for that all day long. All right? How do I put it into use? Now, when you've got a child that is born in a family, after a while, and this is very common among ladies, they want the child to walk right from day one. You know, he's not sitting, you see. Doctor, he's not even sitting. I say, how old? 2 months. Ah, you want the child to be sitting in the womb, from the womb? No, it takes time. It takes time. But what the child, what mothers usually do, and of course fathers, is that they will allow the child to begin to use the leg. They will put him in a crawling position to start with. They will put him in a sitting position, and that's by reason of use. Now, what happens is that when the child starts to walk, you know, when to start to walk, he doesn't start to walk first day. He doesn't start to walk the first day you put him on the ground and say, walk. That would be a miracle of some sort. What happens is the child walks, takes the first steps, and say, hey, Junior, come, come. And he takes the second step, Junior, come. And he takes the third one, and Junior, come. And he falls over. I say, okay, that's okay. We'll continue the training. That's exactly the way it is in the realm of the Spirit. The training is that the Holy Spirit will begin to take you through things, and in the process of it, you begin to develop your spiritual muscle. Now, so what happens is, there is this day you're just in the house and something dropped in your spirit mind. But by the way, we call it voice because that's the best way to describe it. But the truth of the matter is people that have experienced it, and this is my personal experience as well, I've had the opportunity of listening to others who have had contact with the Spirit of the Lord leading them. And they describe it as an impression, a strong impression. Because somebody may want to ask, so what does this sound like? It's like a strong impression in your heart, but it's so clear. There is this hurge in a particular direction, and it's so clear. It's like a deep spontaneous thought that you're not. It's not something you are figuring out by yourself. It just comes as a deep impression in your heart, and the deep impression comes, and then you believe it. You walk by it. You act on it, and you see it work, and then That's the Holy Spirit. Say, for instance, and this is the beauty of it. The Holy Spirit, when he takes you through these steps, he does not, like any mother or any parent, he will not start with high-risk issues. High-risk issues are like, arise, go, sell your house now and go to Peru and evangelize. He won't start with that. Why? You won't hear it. You know what? It will start with what I refer to as low-risk issues. Low-risk issues like you're just in your house and you just felt this prompting. I'm being very practical this morning because I want you to hear God. I don't want you to read about it. I want you to begin to hear him and start from today. And you can start. Yes, your hearing has been kept, you know, in suspension for a long time, but you can start today. All right. So the Holy Spirit puts this very strong impression in your heart, a deep thought, a deep-seated thought, spontaneously. It's like go to the next house, go and speak to your neighbor, and go and just check on him, how he's doing. And you felt it. You know, it wasn't your idea. I mean, you wouldn't have gone to see your neighbor. You've not seen the neighbor even for the last 6 months, and you never bothered. But this came. And then you say, okay, you believed it. And then you tried, you went to the next door neighbor, and you knocked on the door, and the lady there opened the door and said, and you said, I just came to check you. And he looked at you and said, you know what? A few minutes ago, I was just asking God, please, just send somebody to come and talk to me. You get that? You revert back to how it felt. When you had that impression, you've learned. That's the training. Are you getting it? The next time you went into the shops, you were going to park, you know, just very close to the shop, and you felt that thing that said, no, go to the next one. You would have preferred to park there because it was closer, but because you felt that uneasiness, and you just went to the other side and you parked. You went into your shops, you're still grumbling. I don't know why I even do that, but I just felt I should do it. And then you felt you finished your shopping and you came out. And when you came out, you discovered that the spot where you were going to park originally a bike had just gone there and crashed there. Okay? It's like you play back. How did it feel? How did that impression come? You learned. That's the training. Are you getting it? The next time you were in the house, you were watching movies of some sort, and you felt something in your heart saying, go to the street, stand there, in the next 1 hour, somebody is going to come to you, and you're going to be able to share God's word with him. And it didn't make any sense to you because you've never done that before. And you decided to go out, and you stood there 1 hour. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. When it was the fifth hour and it was getting dark, you went back into your house like this. You replayed. That's not the Holy Spirit talking. You've just learned it. Because the steps and the stops of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes the way to know it is to see it not working. Falling is part of growth. Falling is part of learning to walk. And that's why I started with the child. You know, it takes the first, the second, and the first over. The woman is not going to be so distracted and be disappointed. It's just part of it. The falling is part of it. Missing the voice is part of learning the process. Are you getting me? Now, I just told you a few weeks ago, for some of you that were around, I gave you two examples the first week of how the Lord saved me from some terrible traffic accidents by hearing his voice. All right? And then I shared with you the following week how the Lord spoke to my heart to go and minister to somebody who was psychotic. And I said, no, that wouldn't be the Holy Spirit. And I failed in that respect. But I learned it because the Holy Spirit actually went ahead and showed me while I was still there. He said, I will go there and do it now. For some of you that were in church, you know, that's why it's good to come to church every time, you know, every Sunday, you know. And then, because I'm not going to repeat that, people of God, it's on the website, you know. And then you get, and then I miss that. You know what happened? I revert back to my training. I said, okay, so that's, although I missed it, I packaged that as part of my training. That's the way to learn it, by reason of use. By reason of use. By reason of use. It wasn't so difficult when the Lord will move me to come to this country, for instance, this beautiful country, for instance, when he will speak to me that it was time to move from where I was. It was not difficult. Why? Because I've learned it by reason of use. By reason of use. I did not cast out the devil. Why? Because everything, there was nothing in the natural that pointed to my movement, that pointed and supported it. But I heard his voice. I heard his voice. I knew it was him. Why? Because I have tried it, I've used it, I've failed at some time, I've got it at another time, at some other times. So I knew exactly the way it worked. People of God, the way to learn it is to be trained by it. You know, people are always looking for instruments to use, and I'm going to share a few of them with you, if you've got time today. The instruments to learn his voice, but you don't start by using the instrument. You start by going through the training. Now, for instance, I mean, there are other professionals here, but let me use the medical profession because I'm familiar with that. Now, you don't hand over the instruments to be used in the clinic to a man and say, go and operate the clinic. That's not the place to start. The place to start is to take him and put him in the university, in the medical school, and let him go through training. Why? Because if you put the instrument in the hands of an untrained man, you have just employed a butcher. He's just going to kill everybody. Why? Because he's untrained, he's unskilled. And that's what the Bible is. He's unskilled in the use of the word of righteousness. He's unskilled. So the first thing is to do the training, and then after you have done the training, you now give the instrument. The instrument is to help the effectiveness of the training. It's not a substitute for the training. It's not a substitute. So this morning, I want to challenge you to begin to desire to hear him and to begin to listen to your heart and follow that deep-seated impression. Are you going to miss it? I can bet you will miss it at some point. I can just tell you beforehand now so you prepare for it. You will miss it at some point and don't be grumpy. You know, when you miss it, it's not because the Holy Spirit does not speak well. It's because you are not hearing clearly. And you know the beauty of it, this is going to encourage some of you. The beauty of it is the Holy Spirit is so, God is so good at this that even when you miss it, the product of your error, the product of your failure, he will actually package that failure together and actually use it. It doesn't waste any material. He will actually use the product of your failure and you package it together and he will use it for your good. I mean, personal experience, people of God. Personal experience. I made a big blunder. I made a big blunder years ago when I was still going through this. Of course, by the grace of God, I'm still going through the training. But I made a big blunder years ago. The day I arrived at that place where I thought the Lord was leading me, the day I arrived there, I knew I missed it. That day, I knew I missed it. But it was too late because I had already cut myself off from the previous place. It was too late. I called my wife. I said, sorry, I got it wrong. But you know the most important thing?
That step that I took, even though I knew it was in error, looking back now, one of the things, one of the highlights of my life, and one of the things I thank God for is that, thank you, Lord, that I made that error. You know why? Because that error forced me into a corner which made me to go back to the original voice that I've had, which I thought was so difficult to actually implement. But because I was now in a tight corner, because of the error I've committed, I had to go back to the original one, and that original one worked very well. But I would never have been, I would never have gone to that original voice of God if I was not put in a corner. So the error worked well. I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of it, use it. Somebody say, but I'm not sure. I thought I had God. I will just give you a few instruments to help you to know whether you are hearing well. But there is just no substitute to this training thing. You just have to go through it by reason of use. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised. There is an exercise going on. You don't see it, but you are getting matured in your hearing ability by reason of use. Now, quickly, let me just give you a few instruments that will help you. Are you hearing? Are you getting anything out of all this? Great. Now, like I said, it's going to start with what I refer to as a low risk issues, or just word of assurance. You know, some people think that when you hear God, you must do something about it. There are things that you hear from God that God doesn't want you to do anything about. He just wants you to believe them. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? You're not to do anything about it sometimes. You're just to believe that. You're just to believe it. So it's not all the voice, all the words that come from the Holy Spirit that wants you to do something. Sometimes he just wants to encourage you and reassure you. Just like a normal father would. It's not every time that I speak to my daughter that I request her to go and bring something. You know, when I say I love you to her, it's not supposed to go and do something. Although I expect her to smile a little, you know. but it's not supposed to go and do something. It's just supposed to reinforce my love for her. Okay. What are these instruments? Because these instruments are going to be like guidelines for you so that when you put this instrument together with the training, it will work very well. Now, like I said, the instrument is not to replace the training. It's to enhance the training, your effectiveness when you use it. The first thing I'm going to be talking about, which is the instrument of... Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Now, by the grace of God, we're going to be dealing with this next time. I want you to know that apart from the fact that you know and you learn to use the voice of God that comes to you, you must desire it. I said that previously. You desire it. When it comes to you, it comes like a strong impression in your heart. It comes like an urge, a spontaneous thought. You never thought about that before. And then you act on it. It works well. You review. You see, when you act on it, then you go back and you review it. Did it work well? When it works well, you go back and review it. How did I hear that? And you remind yourself how it sounded in your spirit, man. You know, it's just like a man that has no thong that comes to you and say, "How does sugar taste?" And you say, "Sugar tastes sweet." The next thing he's going to ask you is what? How does sweet taste? Why? Because it doesn't have a thong. And that's why this part of life, this part of listening and hearing God, there is just a part of it that you cannot communicate in words. There is this part of it that you learn it, and you learn it for yourself, by yourself. And you can't just communicate it and in such a way that the other person will go through it without going through any training. Every single one of us will have to go through that training. Every single one of us, if we want to desire to hear God and want to hear Him clearly, we have to go through that training. And but you know, in life there are things that you God has put in the body such that they act as guidelines. You know, they act as guidelines because some people can tell you some terrible things and that they said they heard God's voice and all of a sudden you know this cannot be God's voice. This cannot be God's voice because it is completely outside the guideline of the voice of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God." Test the spirit. The same thing, the voice. You need to test the voice, whether it's from God. You know, it's just like the spirit of prophecy. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you know, there are some things that the Bible says, when you have gathered together, let two or three prophesy and let others judge. That judges test, review what the guy is saying. Because the prophecy comes with certain guideline. If it's outside that guideline, it's not of God. What's the guideline? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. It must bring three things: exhortation, edification, and comfort. If those things are not there, tell the man to sit down. If he's still struggling, check him out of the church. Because that's the guideline. If it's the spirit of prophecy, it must bring edification, it must bring comfort, and it must bring edification. Those three things must be there. That's the way the Lord has packaged it. So you there are things that you need when you hear God and when you believe you have heard God. You must let them pass through a guideline. Does it fall into this guideline? And those are the things that we're going to be reviewing next time by the grace of God. But I want you to desire to hear God. It is your portion. It is something you should desire. It is something you should experience. It is not something that you should just be hearing people talk to you about. It is something that God has given to everyone in the body of Christ. Let me close by saying this. I've had people talk about the fact that, look, we don't need any word from the Spirit. All we need is in God's word. You know, say the Bible covers everything. Why do you need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? It's true. But let me tell you another thing that is also the characteristic of such assertion. It is half truth. And you know one thing about half truth? Half truths are worse lies, because they are very difficult to detect. It sounds good if I tell you that if I'm standing here today and say, you don't need the Holy Spirit, everything that you need is in the Word of God. It sounds like, yeah, the Word of God is all. But that's half-truth. And I will tell you two or three reasons why that is half-truth. Number one, there is actually no way that you can separate the Word from the Spirit. The Word, the Bible that is given to us, and the Spirit of God, they cannot be separated. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says that. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. He said the three of them are one. So you can't separate, oh, I need the Word, I don't need the Spirit. Or I need the Bible, I don't need the Spirit. You can't separate the two of them. Number two, certain decisions in life are not expressly written in the Bible. Certain things that you will have to make decisions about, or certain directions you need to follow, they are not expressly written here. Are you supposed to buy a house, to rent a house, or to build a house? You show me from the Word, the Bible, the passage where it is written in your name. All right? It is not expressly written in the Word. And that is where the Holy Spirit comes. Now, and I'm going to be sharing this next week. Now, that does not make the Word of God irrelevant, because you will still need to check what the Holy Spirit tells you by the reason of the Word, and I'll get into that next week. But it is important for you to know that the Spirit is required. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said, I was going to send him to guide us. He wouldn't have said that. So it is important. Certain things are not expressly written here. Somebody said, the Lord spoke to me. As I was reading the Bible, I got a message about relocation. There is no passage in this place that talks to you as to whether you should be in Perth or you should be in Brisbane or Sydney. It's not in the Word. It's not expressly stated in the Bible. And that's why the Spirit of the Lord will use the content of the Word to tell you exactly where you should go. Finally, people of God, without the Spirit of the Lord, you will still fall into error, even though you have all the translations of the Bible in your house. How do I know that? In Matthew chapter number 4, as Jesus was quoting scriptures, the devil was also quoting scriptures. Everything that the devil said was according to the Word. But you know how Jesus was able to overcome, and how we are supposed to overcome? Because the spirit of the word will give an interpretation that is different from what the devil will give us. And that interpretation will glorify the Father and not self. As a matter of fact, there was a place when Jesus gave a scripture as the reason why he will not jump from the pinnacle of the temple. The devil actually gave two from Psalm chapter number 91. So after all, he has said that he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in your ways. They will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. That was the devil quoting the scriptures, people. That was the devil quoting the scriptures. All right? So if you are going to say, okay, whatever is in that word is what is relevant at that point in time, then you will have jumped. And of course, you know what will happen. But because the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Because the motive behind what the devil is asking Jesus to do is to aggrandize self. And the Spirit of the Lord will point you to that direction and will let you know when it is relevant. People of God, I'm just saying that the Spirit of the Lord has been given to us as a church and as individuals to guide us. To guide us. Let us pray.